Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. How are you? Welcome. This is Topics with Trish, your voice radio network. And as I posted out today, we're talking about medications. Are they helping or hurting in our society? A lot of parents have different ideas about immunizations. They have different ideas and thoughts about, you know, whether medicating behavioral management for their kids or even working with the elderly. You know, time and time again, we hear and we see our parents and grandparents being so heavily medicated with, you know, 10, 15 different types of medications at one time. And, you know, there's no way that those can't counteract with each other and cause some really, really difficult problems. Medication is about helping us find a stability, but also in conjunction with medications, including immunizations. It's about working with what's best for your chemistry. There are many times that one person's chemistry will react very differently to the types of dosages and the types of medications that are given. Very often, you know, our medical professionals are so busy and the insurance companies make it very difficult because of all the screw-ups in our healthcare system that, you know, they're not investigating further. They're not going back in a child's history or in a person's history. What kind of behavioral patterns are going on that might be, you know, causing some of the behavioral issues, but also what kinds of problems are going on with their health conditions, and do they really need these certain medications? Are we giving them too much? Are doctors not communicating? Are files not equally accessible? You know, like you can sign up for your medical records to be in a patient porthole with one hospital. When you change providers, including hospitals, you know, do they have access to that same information? Do you have copies of everything? Are you being your own best advocate? Are you speaking up for the kids and even for the parents and the elderly around you? There are many different conflicting attitudes about immunizations, and it is about what works best for you, what works best for your child. Again, this is Trish McKnight, live from our Red Room, of course, and welcoming you to your voice radio network, brought to you by the Blog Talk Radio platform. Remember that we are a team of hosts. We have Donna Shear and Lee Roberts, who do first and third Wednesdays with Tune On Us at noon. We have Dr. Amelia Rose, who broadcasts every Monday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. And they have expertise, and, you know, we all have our learned experiences, our life experiences. We all have what we've helped people through, that knowledge that we absorb. We all have gone through studies and trainings and seminars to become the best that we can be to bring you the information that we have. I personally like to pull up and research the trusted national resource information that is published through the CDC, the National Child Traumatic Stress Network, the Psychology Today website, the National Institute of Health, National Institute of Behavioral Health. You know, these are all quality resources that continue to do studies, as well as the independent organizations out there. The some of the information that we're pulling from today is available, which I will share the information with our radio group. We're doing our live radio feed through our radio group, which you can comment directly on the video, which I'll be able to see and share with other people, or give me a call here live in the studio, 929-477-2779. Before we get started, I really just hope that everybody across the country is able to experience some of the absolutely beautiful weather that has been passing through South Central Illinois. You know, we've through the St. Louis, through the Midwest. You know, it of course, comes from the West and then gets to us, and then it goes on to the East Coast. So hopefully, the East Coast people will be feeling some warmth there within a couple of days, and be able to unbury themselves from all of that heavy, heavy snow that they got hit with last week. Temperatures, hey, it's close to the end of March. This is that time. More often than not, from Oklahoma through there is a northeast path that tornadoes pass through. It comes through Oklahoma, Missouri, Illinois, and travels on up. Pennsylvania rarely gets tornadoes. New York rarely gets tornadoes. California rarely gets tornadoes. It comes out of a southwest and travels to a northeast pattern. This is that time of year that our weather, we get part of the cold and part of the hot, and it gets very turbulent for us right now. Keep your eyes open because storms, tornadoes, high winds, hail, those kind of things, as we know in the St. Louis area, these can happen at any moment, can go from one extreme to the other within a day. Let's just kind of keep our eyes open. Nighttime storms worry me the most because you don't know and you're sleeping. So eyes open, everyone. Phone set to be alerted for bad weather in your area. You can set it through a lot of the local news apps. I like the KSDK.com app only because of I watch their broadcast. Anyway, going on with today's broadcast, let's get started with some of these medication issues. We are discussing, are they helping or hurting our society? Most are truly a wonderful scientific creation. They've helped bring us out of polio, and they have helped vaccinate us and help us treat STDs. And even some cancers and, the AIDS virus or HIV, Hep C, whatever you want to call it. There are treatments that continue to grow. Even people with spinal cord problems and brain development problems, even people with fibromyalgia or head trauma or memory loss, these are all problems that between a balance of behavioral modifications, occupational therapy skills, physical therapy skills, using the supportive network of medical professionals that are available and what kind of treatments each of them has expertise in. You're not going to go to a therapist who's never worked with the trauma patient if you are filled with some kind of trauma. You're not going to go to an English-speaking representative if you are Spanish-speaking. Somebody from India is going to be more comfortable with a doctor from there. You know, we just feel comfortable. I have no problem with any nationality that has become or treated me, especially during these last 10 years. when my health has just kind of hit this platform where it just crashed and burned very slowly. And one thing after another seems to be going along. And, you know, there's a lot of difficulties with what I myself suffer, some of these being from injuries, some of these just being my body's old age, some of them being a twisting of my wiring, some of them being my response system, and some of them being, you know, just different types of things that can affect our overall well-being. And what we deal with in medications, trying to get proper medical treatment for ourselves, for our families, for our children, our parents, for a loved one, even for a friend, you know, for diabetes patients, for COPD patients, for neurological problems, for memory problems, for estrogen problems and testosterone problems and sex change problems. You know, there are so many different issues. There's as many different problems as there are human beings on the planet. So we are never, I won't say never, but at this point, we don't fully understand. We are only amazing how our brains are supposed to be the highest of the species on the planet. Yet it's taken us so long to figure out that if we sit down and really break down our personalities, the overall personalities of a client that we're working with or a patient that we're working with, physical injuries, emotional history, behavioral problems, anger problems, relationship challenges, family, home, and health, educational, career focus, career success, chronic health problems, medications that make us stable, dealing with mental health and those types of things. So medications are crucial in helping us. And, you know, there are some religions that don't, you know, Scientology being one, they don't believe in the medical help. They call themselves Scientology, but yet don't believe in science helping human beings. They believe in prayer. There are old traditions and new traditions. There are old wives' tales. There are the old rural and home medical treatments. There are just so much that is available. And if we can talk about that and if we can bring some of that forward, maybe it's going to help somebody out there. So I want to thank everyone who is watching. Thank you and welcome. Your Voice Radio, Topics with Trish, medications, are they helping or hurting? I think the first and foremost issue on this is, you know, of course, making sure that when we go in for a doctor's visit, sometimes we think, oh, you know what, this is just a cold. I need an antibiotic. Okay, fine. What kind of antibiotics work best for you? The safest antibiotic that's out there. How do antibiotics treat people differently? What dosage is right for you? You know, they give a basic Z-Pack a lot of times. And they call it a Z-Pack because you take 3 pills the first day, 2 pills the next day, 1 pill following each day after that. I think it's for 5 days or 7 days, whatever the treatment is. This is one of the strongest bacterial antibiotics that are out there. Makes me so nauseous to my stomach. That is the infection and the poison leaving my body. I have a lot of migraine issues. There are medications out there. Some people, you know, I use caffeine because that stimulates and opens up the blood vessels in the brain to allow appropriate oxygen and blood flow to the brain. It does help ease it. I know that caffeine doesn't help you rest, and more often than not, when we have migraines, more than anything else, we want to rest. Many of us locking ourselves off in a dark room or just kicking back and decompressing our bodies in some type of healthy way. You know, I know many who deal with chronic pain, have been in chronic pain treatment, and have been, for lack of a better term, pincushions and medication studies to find out what's going to work best for this person. Is there a treatment? Is there some way we can make them better, more productive, and help them get through daily life? The first time I went into medication management, this was in October of 07, shortly after they found the cyst and the spinal cord damage. So I go into pain management. Now, I had never taken a hard drug in my life. Alcohol was an early introduction and coping medication for me, beginning, I think, the first time I actually got drunk and was fed the alcohol and forced to drink a case of beer. I was like 10, and alcohol was just a huge part of my life back then. Marijuana started early in life as a coping skill, something to calm the nerves, something which my generation used quite a bit, something that my ancestors, the Native Americans, have used for centuries. This is a plant that has been put on this earth by the creator of this earth. And some believe in the universal blast, and some believe in God's creation. Why can't it be a combination of both? Why can't it be a hopeful side and a spiritual side, and connecting with Mother Earth and Mother Nature and, you know, the spirits around us in a healthy manner? Because, you know, these are different beliefs that have been handed down from our ancestors to our descendants, and ways that we raise our kids in the different religion to what is good and what isn't good for them. A lot of times that passes and crisscrosses with the medical well-being. And it's difficult to say, you know, to someone who's never been to a doctor that, you know, hey, you just need an overall checkup. You're having breathing problems. You need some oxygen. What's your oxygen level? What's your blood pressure? How's your heartbeat? Does your stomach hurt? Where does it hurt? Is it to the left, the right, up above, down below? Are you male, female? Your back? Where in your back? Your buttocks? Where in your buttocks? Your legs? Where? When did you first start noticing this problem? What kind of medications are available? What's the best treatment for you? This doctor it was very much right away put me on methadone. It was a kickback program. I had to sign a contract to use a specific pharmacy that was located right below him. I couldn't, and he was in St. Louis. So even to get my medications once a month, I had to drive over to St. Louis. But, you know, I couldn't use a local pharmacy. I couldn't go to another doctor. I couldn't go to an emergency room. This medication almost killed me. This, along with the medications that my psychiatrist at the time was giving me to help me combat the nervous breakdown I was going through, the anxiety levels that I was going through, you know, the medications they had me on, as well as my lung doctor treating me for my COPD from chronic smoking. So even though I had given each and every one of them, it was a brand new year. This happened on a February 8th. On the middle of January, I had met with each and every one of my doctors, and each one had an updated list of medications, what milligram dosages, and who was giving it to me. When I went into respiratory shutdown, each and every one of the doctors denied that any problems were occurring that they knew about, and if I would have only let them know. And not one of them was willing to speak out against another doctor. So I quickly, for the sake of my life, learn to become my own best advocate when it comes to my health care. When we have a problem, we know our bodies best. When our kids have a problem, we know our kids best. We are the ones that are around them all the time. Take input from how they are behaving and communicating, and if they're acting ill at school or around other people, you need to know everything. When you go in to talk to your doctor, how are they supposed to know what's right for you if you're holding back information from them or not giving them? And no, you don't want to lay out your entire history for them each and every single time. What you want to be able to do is say, well, this is A, B, C, my problem. This is A, B, C, my brief history. This is the types of medications I'm using now. These are the problems that I'm having with that medication. Can we talk about what's going to be, what my insurance is going to allow? And don't be afraid to call your insurance company as well. You have to manage for yourself. And if there's someone in your family who cannot cognitively or because of an addiction or because of a trauma or an untreated condition cannot balance things for themselves, they have to be able to balance things for themselves. You need to help them through that. Sometimes information is withheld, and the doctors have nothing to go by. Not everything is available on your medical information for them right away. It takes time to get records and to go back and to find a doctor or even discuss the time and the patience required to have an open communication. No, you don't need to take up 30 minutes of their time with each and every visit that you go. You need to be able to feel free to use that 10 or 15 minute time allotment wisely. So keep track of what is going on. Keep a journal, even a month before, after you schedule your appointment. If you got to wait a week, 2 weeks, if you can track your symptoms or the behaviors or the activities or something, then absolutely go ahead and keep a journal for yourself. When we go in to speak to a child behavioral specialist, only you know and the school knows, and maybe perhaps a guidance counselor or someone else who is involved with your kid that really knows, and each kid feels comfortable talking to different people about different things. But if they're honestly not well, if they are struggling with something, it's the job of that person to bring it to the attention, submit a report, an evaluation, a skilled, knowledgeable defense and well-being overlook for your children. Be their advocates. They can't speak up for themselves. They can say, yeah, I got a bellyache. Yeah, it hurts here, it hurts there. It either hurts really, really bad, it's tolerable, or maybe, just maybe, there's something that they can't communicate at all. So, it's like sometimes it's like dealing with an infant. You really don't know what's going on. Be very careful and very open and very direct when having these medication and immunization and discussions with your medical professional. Okay, we're down to sorry about that, checking out my time frame. We are 34 minutes into the program. We're going to go and jump on to, how we can help. There's some three different bits of information that I researched on this morning As I said, I try to pull from, some of the best articles that I can find. Where did one of my websites disappeared? Looking at, now this is a problem that I discussed with a friend of mine yesterday, and something that I've experienced with my parents, something that I've experienced with other, with other people's parents, with my partner's parents, over-medicating our elderly. Our bodies begin to break down. We get weaker. Exercise definitely helps. You'll notice a weight machine in my room here. Robbie uses it 2-3 times a week. I'm not that committed. I'm not energetic. I don't know where I fail in that area, but I do. Hopefully with the weather changing, I can get out and get back to my walks, building up my leg strength again, and kind of what I've learned dealing with chronic pain is, such as the constant neuropathy from my shins down to the tips of my toes where everything feels cold and burning on the inside, but nobody else can feel that extreme cold and burning that I do. The numbness and the cramping and all of that, it's something that I deal with. So walking any long distance, trying to be on my feet for any certain amount of time, messes with my lower back, which is all busted up and having problems with, messes with my feet, my legs. Of course it triggers, and of course there are one of the great medications that are helping people with fibromyalgia and overstimulated nerve endings, which create and cause neuropathic problems, is, of course, Lyrica, diabetic pain relief. You see commercials for neuropathic management, neuropathy management, with the use of Lyrica. You've seen, of course, the fibromyalgia commercials, which first was found to be, Lyrica was the best resource. But now they're looking at, okay, we also need some calming and some coping skills because fibromyalgia doesn't go away. It can be triggered by stress. Your nerve endings are oversensitive. If it's too cold, if it's too hot, if you are stressing over financial problems or social problems or family problems or work problems, this gets triggered and then you've got this burning fire in your back and through your shoulders and your head and your fingers and throughout your body, and your muscles feel like they're all cramping in on you. And Lyrica is a excellent scientific medication that they brought for everyone to use for this. COPD problems, lung problems, Spiriva inhaler, Breo inhaler, there are tools, oxygen supplements, also for ADHD, please do not forget. Some kids, yes, actually, yes, they need that extra help with ADHD. ADHD not only involves a pediatrician, but it also involves behavioral management and learning strategies and coping skills, learning to keep their mind stimulated while still be able to focus to work out a problem. Now, this just doesn't happen with traumatized kids. Adults are diagnosed with ADHD. They call it ADHD whenever there are behavioral problems involved. A child can't sit still. They are talking in class all the time. They don't follow the rules. They're rebellious. Disconnected behavior. Whatever. Those are the problems related to ADHD. ADD is where they can't concentrate. Their homework isn't done well. They can't calm their brain to absorb and learn during class. Maybe there's a distraction ADHD are very commonly, we are so easily distracted. And, it, you know, finding that balance for us, maybe it is a partial medical diagnosis or a medical treatment, but also maybe it is learning some strategies to block out the distractions. And, of course, we all know that developing coping, healthy coping and behavioral management skills that are useful takes time and takes practice. It's not going to happen easily. Our bodies are ingrained to respond and react, and, you know, we can't help sometimes what our brain does and what our emotions do. But we absolutely have to make sure that we are giving the best. My battery's going low. I hope I can get through this broadcast without any difficulties. I apologize. My ear. Anyway, you know, I hope that when we are considering the evaluation of a child's ADD, ADHD, that we are also considering the behavioral management part and the learning skills part. And if you're not actively helping your child, you just can't take your kid to the doctor and the doctor's going to tell the kid you got to do A, B, C, D, and E, you know, so that you can teach your brain to concentrate on what you're doing. Okay, awesome. That doctor isn't just talking to that child. Yeah, they're putting part of the responsibility on that child. But what if that doctor is also talking to you and saying, hey, here are some tools that you can learn, some guides that you can post on your refrigerator for after school time, some rules and regulations and clearly defined punishments for certain behaviors. Here are some activities that I want you to do. And remember that when you're doing your homework, even though you've got three or four or five siblings running around in the house, or maybe you're by yourself and social media is in front of you, your goal, your job as a child in school is to get through school the best way you can. Because, you know, according to what they published the other day, and I believe this is on the Today Show, USA Today brought this forward, you know, even though our unemployment rates, they say, are declining, the levels of education needed to get any type of job have drastically changed. You know, you used to be able to go to work at McDonald's without a high school education. Now you either have to be in school or have a GED or, you know, have graduated. You also, when going into your first job, if it's not, you know, someone that you know that is helping you getting your foot in the door or a temp agency who is bringing you in to at least give you an opportunity to show your skills, got to be able to give it your best foot forward and to figure out how to work and to be dependable. They want to look at your education, how well you did. They want your transcripts. They do a background check on you. They want to make sure that they're giving the best possible employees. Jobs that were requiring a bachelor's or an associate's degree from college before are now requiring a master's degree. So even more debt piled on top because you've got to go to school even longer, especially if you get into these high-tech jobs or you get in with these huge corporations. Or you're not able to take what you know from a trade school, because everyone needs at least a high school education and at least a trade school if you are going to go into I went to business school. I was focused on working in business. I went through business school, Abbey Institute in Frederick, Maryland, where I, surprisingly, someone who was a D student in school because of all of the other crap that was going on, graduated valedictorian and gave the valedictorian, speech. I never thought I could do that in a million years. Plus, I had two babies I was raising and delivered my third while I was in school. Three, 4 weeks after I started school, if even that long. So I had a new baby, and I had a 3-year-old, and I had a 5-year-old, and I had one starting kindergarten, and I had a husband who needed, dinner after work and a family bonding time, and what it takes. Life is difficult, so be your own best advocate. Know what you're doing. The other drug problem is giving the elderly too many prescriptions. There is an article written August 15, 2016, and is published through the Washington Post. This is something that was shared through Psychology Today as well. They had a blood pressure medication. The dosage for this particular woman at her particular weight could have caused her to faint or fall. An 84-year-old woman hospitalized for knee surgery was taking several drugs that were not meant for older patients because of their severe potential side effects. A 70-year-old with a long history of health problems, including high blood pressure and respiratory disease, was in the hospital with pneumonia and had difficulty breathing. Her medical record shows she was on 36 different medications. My friend's friend, who she is helping out, is a late 60, 70-year-old woman with diabetes and, that has to have a blood sugar check 3-4 times a day. There's not the proper care as she gets older and having difficulties in remembering she's only supposed to be on 4 different medications. However, upon doing a well check and a safety check on her friend, they end up finding that, she's had a mini stroke and that she's unkept, she's unclean. There's the table where our medications are at. There's full bottles and half bottles and empty bottles, laid all over the place. And, even after they had organized everything and taken her to the hospital and got, even taken the time to organize her medications for her, coming back the next day to check on her and find out, she's got them spilled all over the floor and she can't get them, but she has people, children and their children who are living in the home with her, but nobody's really watching out for her. We have elderly going to the doctor and saying, my knees have been hurting. They get put on this medication. You know what? They're still hurting. What can I do? We'll give you 4 weeks of PT, and we're going to put you on these pain medications. Blood pressure starts to get low. Let's put you on this blood pressure medication. Breathing problems develop. Let's put you on this medication. Anxiety problems develop because they're worried about all of the other problems that they're having. Their body's changing, losing their memories, da 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 da. Let's put you on this medication. You're depressed. Let's put you on this medication. You are having heart problems now. Oops, okay, let's put you on this medication. Now you have kidney problems. Now you need this medication. Somebody has to be managing all that. We cannot afford the expense of in-home health care for our elderly clients or elderly family members. So, who's managing that? Who's watching over them? It's something that we all have a duty to take care of someone. If something happens to one of my kids or one of my grandkids or to Robbie. My job, right? If something happens to me, I know Robbie's there. My kids do not live close enough to me to help me out. But that's just the way that is. Life is that way. Sometimes we don't have anybody close enough or around us. Even whenever we're trying to deal with our kids' problems and learning problems and behavioral problems and immunization questions, you know, there's a reason that, you know, the systems are there. We don't want to abuse those systems. We don't want to take advantage of those systems. But if you monitor a child's fever for a matter of 24 hours and it doesn't start to decline, and in fact, maybe it holds steady, or maybe you've used the warm bath or cool cloth treatments, or maybe wrapped them up or fed them some soup or something, done something, given them some aspirin. But yet, you know what? You know, it just continues to rise. Don't give them too much aspirin, rise syndrome. You know, don't overheat them. Don't bundle them up in blankets. They've got to be able to breathe. They breathe and accept the same temperatures. Their body temperature should be the same as your temperature. If you've got a 105 degree temperature, 103 degree, 2 degree temperature, you know, you're a little bit older. Your body's tolerated a little bit more. So maybe you handle it a little bit better. A child's brain, it's smaller and it's not as developed. It affects them differently. So you have to be careful because you don't want that fever to get high enough to cause any problems. Get to a doctor. Get some advice. They have urgent cares available if you can't get in. You know, I know that the whole healthcare thing is difficult, but almost every single state at least has a program to provide assisted healthcare coverage for children. You may not be able to get health care coverage for yourself. Maybe you can't afford the premiums for your entire family. I know the Illinois program has the CHIP program, and that's covering health for Illinois children or Illinois protection or whatever. This is a program that, you know, bases it on your income, your expenses. Sometimes we need a little help. Patients on Medicare, Medicaid, wow, the cuts they're doing. Be careful. Work to find other treatments that you trust. And if you get a new prescription or your family gets a new prescription or your child gets a new prescription, you know, do your research on it. Go to the FDA website. Go to the CDC's website. Go to the National Institute of Health website. Find out how this medication affects what you know about that person, whether it be yourself, your parent, your spouse, your child, whatever. Look up the history of health problems, how they react, how, you know, if you're having fibromyalgia problems, learn that you have coping skills that can help ease the fibromyalgia and neuropathy problems. If you have behavioral or emotional problems, there are skills, there are professions, there are groups. If you have breathing or kidney or lung or injuries, there are organizations that help. Scrutinizing yourself, scrutinizing your physician, making sure that you can have, you know, at least a mutually respectful communication process with the doctors and nurses that work with you. After 10 years of being in pain management, I am definitely one of those people that I need to know that working with this team will not alter what I feel works for me. I need to know that working with this team, they are willing to help me find better ways to help myself. Battery is dying. We are 45 minutes from ending our show. What I am going to do is try and plug my phone in, see if we can't pick up the charge and keep our video podcast going anyway. I do apologize. Seems there's always something, right? I am very technologically challenged. Hopefully that helps. It shows at least it's feeding. There's so many problems that we cannot work through ourselves, and the information is there because people have studied it, because people have had experiences with it, because more and more doctors and scientists and behavioral specialists and psychiatrists and support systems continue to develop better tools. Immunizations, I do want to say that Robbie brought to my attention this morning. I haven't found it yet, but apparently there is a post that's going around social media, and I'm not sure if it's official, so don't take my word on this. I will research it further. That a new antibiotic is either paralyzing or killing people. I don't know if they don't have the diagnosis right, or rather the dosage is right, or somebody's chemical or somebody's blood is not accepting this medication. Maybe it works for you. Maybe it's got too many dangers that we need to worry about. There again, research your conditions. Research coping strategies, research available treatments and medications, and always, always keep track of your medications. You never know when a list, someone in your house, maybe you collapse and there's no one around. Maybe your neighbor calls 911. Keep a list of your meds on the refrigerator. Let your family and friends know it's there. Something happens to you, or keep it in your phone. Somebody's got to know this information. They'll take you to the hospital. They'll do a bunch of blood work. They'll see what kind of medications you're on. And they will, but maybe they're not evaluating the full situation. They're only taking care of the immediate problem in front of them. Be cautious. Be careful. Be wise. Stand up for yourself. Stand up for your children. Careful with psychotropic drugs. There is a broadcast that a great friend of mine, Lynn Tolson, and I did through Butterfly Dreams Talk Radio, which I will also be sharing, that discusses the effects of psychotropic drugs and how they tend to overuse them in the mental health care field, and how they actually are affecting people, shutting them down completely, causing horrible side effects and even ongoing health problems. All right, I am going to go ahead, I'm going to close out the show just about 15 minutes early, but not before checking in. I'm so grateful for anyone watching. Our studio is always open for anyone who wants to call in. It is just a short broadcast today. I've had my own health problems and actually dealing with a 3-day-old migraine that is just starting to ease off. So headphones are not helping. Of course, self-care is one of the biggest tools we can use for ourselves. So with that, I'm going to finish off. I'm going to wish you all a great day. Good luck. God bless. Peace out, everybody. Take care of yourselves, your families. Be your own best advocate and learn what's going on with you. It's a great big world. Let them hear your voice. Thanks for being with me on Your Voice Radio Network. Bye now.